played the Judy Garland version of Over the Rainbow about an hour ago, simply because it's a anniversary. This is the actual 75th anniversary of the first screen debut. I guess there's only one debut. The first screening of The Wizard of Oz on this date in 1939. I think this is so remarkable. So many of us remain disturbed and rather unsettled about the death of Robin Williams. I noted that Dean Richards had said that a contrast with his childlike qualities and the demons he fought within, it was just so extreme. So a half hour from now, we're going to be talking not so much really about depression, but the idea of the grief that we all feel, sometimes many times in our lives, when a family member or somebody we love dies, or some other tragedy that we weren't expecting befalls us. Maybe it's the end of a relationship, a marriage breaks down. But nonetheless, it's always accompanied by grief. And we'll be talking about stories of grief, sure, but also the healing of grief, how to get back into life again. And people who've trod that path will have some things to say. And certainly I'd love to have you share what your experiences and thoughts are about this idea of grief. And so we'll start that just after the 2 o'clock news. This is our weekly entrepreneur segment right now. It's sponsored by Wintrust Financial. Here's the notice I got in my email this week. Quote, introducing the August collection, our picks to take you from summer to fall. What company sent me that pitch? It was a company called the Tie Bar, an online network company. It's gotten some attention because its wares, its products, have been sported by all kinds of well-known celebrities, from Bruce Willis, Daniel Radcliffe, Miami Heat's Dwayne Wade, Channing Tatum? I mean, you've got a lot of big-shot celebrities. I was asking that question to Michael Alter, who's the head of the company. He's the CEO. You're not the founder of the company. But
correct.
I thought it was just a fascinating story, talking about how a tie company that sells essentially ties, I notice it's now into socks, but you're mainly a tie company, has had such growth. It's now 40% up just this year. What are your numbers? I mean, you're not publicly traded, so you don't need to tell us details, but what has the overall growth been?
The growth has been quite strong, and Bill, we like to think of ourselves a men's accessories company, so in addition to ties and
cufflinks?
The bow ties. Cufflinks,
tie bars,
pocket squares, belts, all of those things that help a guy change their uniform or their outfit very affordably and stay in either their traditional style or a fashion-forward style.
Now, is anybody else doing this? Because you can certainly go to Macy's.com or any retail store.com and buy ties that way.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there certainly are a tremendous number of folks that sell ties, whether it's online or offline, and we happen to compete with everybody that does, from the J. Crews of the world to the Nordstrom of the world to the Macy's of the world.
Here's why I had bought, and it was several years ago when I bought my first tie from the Tie Bar. It was just so cheap, and it's really good quality, and I thought the patterns were terrific. That's all I need. And, you know, there's obviously the convenience of just hit a button and it shows up in a couple of days. Is that the main reason most people do business with the Tie Bar?
Well, all our research is telling us the biggest reason folks do business with us is because of the broad selection that you mentioned and the great quality of the ties and of our products. And then on top of that, we do have this wow pricing where all of our ties and our accessories are sort of $15 to $25. And so people are stunned at the value they get in terms of such great ties and such great quality.
Now, the tie industry, I have to believe, is subject to the same influences of consumer pricing. When there is a name brand, an elite brand, Yves Saint Laurent, and the tie is $100+, you're paying mostly for that brand, aren't you?
Oftentimes you are. Certainly there's a couple of dynamics that are going on. One, you certainly have the brand premium that people end up having to pay. And you also have the whole distribution channel. So we sell direct to our customers from online at the Tie Bar. Whereas if you went to a Nordstrom's or a Macy's, you're paying for that wholesale channel and the markup that goes from the person that manufactures it.
Yeah, because Macy's paid something to the manufacturer.
Right, and so you have extra people all getting a haircut, if you will, or a cut of the price through the process. Whereas when we go direct, we're able to cut that middleman out, and that's one of the reasons we're able to charge so affordably.
By the way, Michael Alter, I compliment you on your fine-looking, up-to-date tie.
Thank you.
Before you came to the company, were you such a tie snob? Or
I was a customer of the Tie Bar before I came to the Tie Bar, so I'm very pleased to be involved now.
So ties, and I have to say, you look at my collection in my closet, and you can see how it's changed over the years, from the monster knot to the Gyrish patterns to the slimmer look. What is in right now in terms of ties? What is the look of the moment?
Well, there's a series of things. One is right now the ties are a little bit thinner for younger people.
The knot and the width of the tie?
The width of the tie.
Yeah.
And so the width of the tie is a 2.5-inch tie for those that really care about the exact measurements, but it's a slightly thinner tie, as well as there still are the more traditional ties that are the 3.5-inch. And the biggest thing people say is it really has to do with your personal dimensions in terms of the width of your face, the width of your neck, and your lapel, your jacket lapel, in terms of how wide that is. You want to sort of match those.
And that's patterns, too. If you're a stockier person, you don't want to have horizontal patterns, which emphasize that you want up and down. And
yeah,
if you're skinny beanpole, you want the horizontal. That's true, too.
Yep. And we've also seen some madras patterns, which is a sort of a plaid type of tie that I have on today.
Right now, yeah.
Is very in right now, as well as a series of other fabrics for the summer. Linen mixed with silk gives it a nice effect. So there's a number of things that are on trend right now.
How did you get up to speed on tie fashion?
So the advantage for me in terms of getting up to speed is that we have such a great merchandising team. We design all of our own ties in-house. And so these are the folks that are predicting the future in terms of what our clothing is going to look like, what the styles will be in. And so they help me out. And they're the ones who are really doing the designs and on the leading edge.
So what are they looking at to know what's in or what's the next turn in the road for fashion?
Well, in menswear, there's a series of places that they are looking. Clearly, they're looking to the fashion weeks in whether that's in London and in Paris, as well as they can see the trends that are coming. There's a series of trade shows, as well as there's a number of, you know, GQ is a great trendsetter that we've been very fortunate to be featured in a number of times. And so they're sort of scouring the world to understand where things are going in terms of fashion in general, and then how do we adapt that for neckwear and men's accessories?
Yeah, it really is interesting.
And one of the things I think is really neat is that we're using more and more different textures and different types of materials so that the ties are becoming more sophisticated in terms of what the quality is and how they appear.
You're a guy, you wear a lot of ties. I bet you relate to this. There are some ties I never wear simply because I don't like how they come together as I'm tying the knot. It's too bulky. Sometimes it's just like it's thick with filler or something in it, and the outer fabric is too dense. Do you consider that too when you design and manufacture a tie? Is how does it handle when the man is turning it around in front of him and tying it into
the knot? There's a series of things that you're looking for, but in the end, what our customers tell us they really want is a beautiful looking tie that ties nicely, that has a tight knot, if you will, that lays well. And that is, you know, is resistant to the world around them. You know, when they bump into something or it knocks against something, that it doesn't go bad. And so you get that by delivering great quality, starting with great fabrics and manufacturing techniques and processes that are top of the line.
How many knots do you tie?
How many knots
do you know?
I tie?
I mean, there's a
there's a series of knots, and I'll have to admit that I can do about 3 or 4. Versus the plethora of knots that you can have. I will say that I do wear bow ties occasionally, and I can tie a real bow tie.
That's saying something, because it's not easy. I mean, you had to learn that.
Right? A lot of years of practice.
Yeah, and well, you got YouTube videos now you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
But I do I think it's just the Windsor, and that's all I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Do you even know what that one is that you're wearing?
This is just a standard, it's a half Windsor, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm impressed with people because I'll see different knots and I'll go, God, I want to ask that guy how he did that.
Right.
But that's not really cool.
Well, when you buy from the tie bar, we actually have a little insert that can show you various knots that you can do.
I never bother. I'm just stuck on my – I think it is a half Windsor I tie because mine has that sort of – it turns a little bit and then it straightens out. Anyway, it's kind of fun talking fashion. Mm-hmm. More of our conversation with Michael Alter. He's the CEO of the Tie Bar. But it's not the tiebar.com. That is the website, but it's not the name of the company. It is strictly the Tie Bar, right?
Right. Correct.
And go there to find out what is fashion forward and how you can sport it and have people admire it. I'm Bill Mahler here on 720 WGN. Our entrepreneur segment, sponsored by Wintrust Financial. We're talking today with Michael Alter. I don't know, Michael, do you consider yourself an entrepreneur? I would.
I would as well. I mean, in the business before this, I actually was part of the founding team, so they would give me some credit.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun. The fact that you jump around, that's also also a characteristic of an entrepreneur. They're never settled in one spot. They just love challenges and new experiences.
It is a lot of fun.
How was this the company set up? Do you know that was before your time?
So the business started in 2004, basically around a kitchen table. A husband and wife, Greg and Gina Sugar, out in Naperville, were lawyers, and Greg literally spilled some coffee on his tie and was very frustrated at the cost
that
was
to replace it. That's his eureka moment.
Yeah, cost to replace it. And so, like a lot of great entrepreneurs, decided, wow, there might be a business here, and didn't know what he didn't know. So he started the Tie Bar. And within 6 months, they were up and running, and they grew the business for 10 years. We're the largest men's accessories company online now as a result of that, with the simple premise that a guy shouldn't have to pay a lot for a great tie.
What was he doing at the time, you know?
He was a lawyer.
Oh, yeah, that's what you said. They were lawyers, yeah. Do you know if there were unexpected challenges or turns and twists that came in the evolution of the Tie Bar?
I'm sure with any business, as you're growing it, there are always things that you get unexpected that are good and bad along the way. Whether that is, we buy the right inventory? Did we buy the right designs? Is our customer service working right? Is our website operating right? There's always the cash flow challenges. All of the standard stories that you hear, I know that Greg experienced.
Yeah. Plus, it's sort of a model for how virtual businesses operate. They have manufacturing, they've got vendors, distribution, but they don't have a lot of the overhead that so many other the branch and brick-and-mortar firms do.
Absolutely, because you don't have to have the retail stores and the infrastructure associated with it.
So what about the future? When did you get into socks?
We got into socks in the last couple of years, where we've started to expand beyond ties. Our customers have really been asking for more accessories to help sort of change their look. And so we've moved into belts. We're even expanding belts more this fall. We've got the pocket squares, the tie bars, the cufflinks, all of those things.
Do you have – I've looked at the website, but I haven't dug deeply of late – do you have any guides in terms of the frustration that many of us have with, what does this tie go with?
Mm-hmm. So we have some guides, and we have more guides to come. But one of the nice things about our site is if you show up and you have a blue suit and you want to know what goes with a blue suit, we have the ability for you to click on I have a blue suit, and we'll show you ties that we know that go with that.
How about I have a paisley suit?
Have paisley. I don't know that we have paisley. We certainly have a lot of paisley ties.
I have
ties.
A Glenn plaid suit.
Yeah. But we certainly have a number of the standard suits, as well as you can match shirts right up against the tie as well on the site.
What I like, though, are the fewest number of shirts and ties to get the broadest number of looks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a lot of white. I'm wearing a white shirt right now.
Sure.
I have a lot of the standard light blue shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it's pretty easy, with white particularly, I think almost anything goes.
Yes, I think almost anything does go with white. And that's, you know, that's why guys always sort of describe the uniform as a white shirt or a blue shirt, a blue suit, and a gray suit.
But you're wearing a little off-color shirt. It's what would we say, violet? Is that
probably lavender or purple?
Lavender, okay, yes.
Yeah.
But you know, the trouble with me is if you have a limitation in the number of ties, you're not going to wear that shirt all that much because only two ties go with it, maybe.
Right. And that's, again, one of the big advantages that people have found with the Tie Bar is when our price points are $15 to $25 for a tie, you can buy three ties versus one tie. And so you can have a much broader wardrobe, and you can change up that look more frequently.
Here's your marketing line. Three ties for the price of one. Does that work? You like that voice?
Yeah. It's a good voice. It's good radio voice.
It'll sell ties for you. Yeah. So what do you hope? Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Does the company have a personality? What do you hope the customer feels when they do business with the Tie Bar or interact with the Tie Bar's website?
Yeah, and I think that's important. The brand and what our brand image is and what we stand for is really important. And I think we're very fortunate. Rather than what we think it stands for, we've asked a series of questions to our customers, just did a bunch of research on about 4,000 of our customers. And what we learned is they describe our brand as innovative, as cool, as entrepreneurial, and as quirky.
Quirky, yeah. I was hoping something like what would be in there. Yeah. A little irreverent.
Sure.
Not so, shall we say, buttoned down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is that by design, and has that been the image throughout?
It's been the, you know, it has been the image that we've tried to present, and I think one of the great things about it is it's clear that our customers think that's the image that we have. And that's been a very good, very successful brand for us to be and an image for us to portray, and we plan to continue that.
Has one of the challenges been with your growth, the manufacturing side, the warehouse you had in Naperville that had to be closed? Is that just, you know, to maintain your price points, you've got to do some things?
Yeah, well, it's much more around growth than cost. And when you're growing a business as fast as we are, the scaling and the infrastructure and the systems that you need to keep up with the pace of the order volumes that we have force us to continue to upgrade. And that was what's driving that.
When you came aboard, did you think, boy, I've got a lot to learn? Or did you come aboard saying, I've got vision, I've got all kinds of ideas?
I got a lot to learn. And I think you'll find that most entrepreneurs, when they join a business or somebody who's coming in to run a business, is really best suited to listen for a while, sort of as a joke, the Ross Perot strategy, with big ears and a little mouth, to really sort of understand what is going on in the business and the subtleties of that business.
Were you scared at all coming aboard? I mean, you had no experience other than wearing ties, certainly, and or had you had any manufacturing in the back?
I've had some retail experience. I'm involved in another retailer company called Nambe, which is a gift products, tabletop giftware company. So I've had some industry experience. And it's, you know, when you join a new business or run a new business or start a new business, there's always some anxiety in starting, and I'm no different than anybody else.
All right, put on your headset there. We have a quick question from a few people. First up, this is Michael. Hello, Michael. You're talking to Michael. You're on WGN.
Yeah, how you doing? Hey, question about the tie industry. I think the reason ties are so expensive, my theory is that only a very small percentage are actually sold at the retail. In other words, you might have to make thousands and thousands of ties and have that variety of a selection to get, you know, whatever percentage is actually sold.
Because they go out of fashion so fast, you're thinking that they got to dump the inventory?
Well, I think you got to have a wide variety for people to choose from, even though they'll never buy most of them. So I would bet that, like, say, a Macy's only sells 1% or 2% of the ties they have on display.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's quite all the things that are driving. A lot of it, I think, is much more driven based on the branding and the markups that you see. With today's inventory management and forecasting systems, they've got much lower inventory in all of the stores. And then when they discount them, they're still able to sell them at a price that covers their cost.
That could be part of it, though, Michael. I'm glad you called. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah. So what's next for the tie bar? Are you looking at an array of possible things to expand into?
Well, I think the biggest things for us going forward are really about raising awareness of who we are. What we find is that our customers are very loyal and they love the product. The challenge is we need more customers. We want more customers, and we want people to be aware of us. And so a lot of what we're doing, whether it's online marketing or additional PR and traditional marketing, is all around driving awareness of who the tie bar is, what our value is, to get more and more people to come to the store.
Well, Michael Alter, I'm a satisfied customer.
Thank you.
Should have worn a tie today to prove that to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Bill.